Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. How's everybody doing tonight? We are very excited to have the show here, and I am looking for my partner and captain, Captain B2. Are you there tonight? I'm hearing silence, so I'm getting a little nervous that Bobby might be having some audio issues. I'm not sure. Bobby, if you are there, say hi. If not, if you can say something in the chat, if you can hear me, I don't know. But we do also have Pam behind the scenes tonight. She's running the show. And she is going to be back there playing some audio clouds and letting people in. Bobby, you are not being heard. I'm seeing Bobby out there. You might be on mute. Might be some mute monsters hanging out back there. Well, I hope everybody is doing a good job tonight. We have some great things coming up. We're very excited. We are going to start off the show with one poem from last week, and then we have a whole bunch of great poems, including some SoundClouds and really, really interesting poems tonight to talk about. We are still having some trouble with Bobby with some audio. Bobby, can you hear me? I'm reading the board right now. Can everybody hear me okay? That's what I'm looking for. If anybody can post, if they can hear me talking, at least can make sure that the audio itself is working. And Bobby might just be having up. Somebody is saying yes, so that's fantastic. Bobby, you might want to try calling out and calling in again or just making sure the audio is okay. But anyway, we are very excited to get started tonight. Anybody who wants to join in, please join in. Interesting day here in New England that we were having. Crazy weather. The joke around New England is that if you don't like the weather, wait a minute. It was today. I wasn't expecting hot, humid, and sticky.
Hello?
Hey, is this Captain?
Yeah, I'd like to join in, please.
There you are.
Here I are.
There you are. I was just getting into the groove of talking to myself, but that's okay. There you are. I'm glad you're here.
I'm schizophrenic and so am I.
That's right. Exactly. Go ahead.
I must have been just started because speaking and then you started walking on me and I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on. And the next thing I know, I dropped. So apparently
that's okay.
We haven't even started. Someone's been mad at me already.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, you know what?
Technical issues you make through it.
Well, and my greeting was so warm and cordial, too.
I was hearing a little bit of feedback from myself.
Can
you hear that? Anybody hear feedback that I'm hearing? Did I lose everyone?
Better.
Oh, there we go. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, technical issues. Hey, you know what? George Carlin says the faster the technology, the faster we get annoyed with it. So there we go. We are, you know, what happened to the days, you know, 1,000 years ago when we just hung around the campfire and told stories? No, now we all have to be on like 5 different computer screens and audio and all this stuff. And hey, you know, things are going to go wrong. What are you going to do?
I was thinking more in a different vein. I remember when I ran the admin, when we thought we were really hot stuff and we had IBM Selectrics because they had correction tape on them. I remember before we were typing everything, and if the old man, if we made a mistake, we had to type the whole letter over again. And I remember before I retired watching my colonel standing next to the network printer after he had done the letter on his computer, tapping his foot and going, come on, come on.
Like, yep, damn. Yep, yep.
Yeah,
exactly, exactly. We are very smart. And, you know, being an older guy myself, remembering all those things, I get very annoyed right now. I'm becoming, like, you know, part of this new culture because I get very annoyed if things aren't done in, like, 1 second. You know, what, the TV channel switch? Come on, what are you doing? It's just the way it is. But anyway, hey, sounds good.
I'm so proud we only have one carryover from Olga.
Yes, we do. Yes. Yes, and that's a good thing. Yeah, let's get started. We got some stuff to do here, so let's absolutely get started. Very excited. We have the one carryover, and then we'll get into our contest. So I give you the honors, as always. If you would like to read the one carryover we have here, this is called Judgment by Nisaba Loquisha. And I'm posting it in the chat right now. If you want to give it a read, we can get going.
It's popped up right next to this thumbnail of a handsome gentleman. Okay.
There you go.
Judgment. Nisaba Loquisha. The end of days and the earth meets sky. Clouds like roses drifting by. A lily in warm angel's hand, the colder angel does not stand. And you, recumbent on the hill, your eyes so glazed, your breath stood still. You have no chance left to repair the harm you did. Now you are there. End poem. And
very,
her author's note said, I felt that this is almost an archetypal rendition of the tarot card, Judgment, which is about reaching the end when you no longer have a chance to improve your behavior, but must live with what you have already done or not done. I like that. At least she's let us know what her interpretation was. That certainly helps. So are we just talking to ourselves tonight?
It is just us right now. Pam is behind the scenes for tonight, and we don't have anyone else. So, yeah, you and I, we are the show, my dear Captain.
On her Wizard of Oz. You're doing a Wizard of Oz imitation?
Exactly, exactly. So I thought this was really interesting, and you know, it's actually really inspired me, the tarot card Judgment, and the way she described it, you know, end of days meets earth and sky, clouds like rose drifting by, and then lily warm angel's hand, like I was picturing these tarot cards, and it actually made me think of literally walking around a field and seeing things, and okay, I see a rose. Is that the tower card of what's going to happen, right? I see the, you know, the death card in tarot cards is famously not death, right? It's change, right? So if you see a dead animal on the ground, does that mean change? Like almost what I was just almost kind of picturing, you know, I don't know if this is what the poem had to do with, but it just made me picture kind of walking through woods or walking, just taking a walk and all the different things I see. That's like my future being told where I'm walking and what's happening. So I thought it was really interesting. It actually, you know, very much inspired me. I thought it was a very interesting idea. And it always amazes me when people put so much into these little brevities. Yeah, I sometimes tend to write these long pieces. I wrote one the other day that was like almost 600 words, one of my longest ones ever. I don't really know that's what's happening. I'm writing it, and all of a sudden I look at it, and I'm like, what the? Like, it's, I wrote a novel. I didn't realize it. I'm telling you. So I try to write brevities like this, and I've done them often, but they are hard to really get everything you want to say in there. I thought she did just a fantastic job, and you did a great read with that, Bobby.
I'm looking at the prompt, and it if anyone can recall, it is the number 9 is the two figures in midair greeting one another, and beneath them on the top of a hill is what looks like a pagliacci, a clown, court jester, laying asleep. And I'm trying to think how she, you know, what she saw the end in this, and I'm just
Do we lose you, Bobby?
I hope not. Am I still here?
Oh, there you are. You're back. Yep.
Yeah. It's interesting how interpretations are so individual. So, but that was the last from Olga and her beautiful artwork. I actually put two of the prompts aside for myself and have started working on a couple of pieces that got stirred in my brain while this contest was ongoing. So we can close Olga and say goodbye to her, and we can open up and welcome the surreal renderings of old masters, the photography. And this is, it's amazing, this is photography of Alexander Sviridov. And I just to clarify, I am not going out of my way to try and find artists with tongue twister names. It just happens that way.
I was thinking about that the other day, you know, because almost every person you put up there, I literally can't pronounce their name. So,
having a Slavic background helps. This one, he actually is from Toronto. He originally studied art in Russia, immigrated to Toronto. He's a Canadian artist who you would enjoy his. Uses his youngest daughter as quite often as a model for his artwork, and you can see that throughout his work, having her in there. But he's got some very unusual themes, and some of them very have a very strong period flavor to them. Some of them almost look punk, steampunk, and. But the way he's blended the figures and the art of the subjects in his photography is just phenomenal. So with that, let's kick this off, and you're going to post the first one.
I am. I'm going to post it right now. I'm very excited here. So one moment. And I will give that a read.
Nope.
This is by Eric Daniel Herman. Let me ask you a question before I read. Are you hearing a lot of hissing or anything in the background? I have a fan going. I want to make sure I'm not making a lot of noise.
You're fine. Oh, you're fine.
Excellent.
I have one going, too.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's like 112 degrees and 500% humidity here, so I got to put something. Slight exaggeration, I know. But so this is by Eric Daniel. That's right. So Eric Daniel Herman, this is called Dreams Plus Psychedelic Drugs as Interdimensional Portals. Very interesting. And for those, so here we go. I dissolved as a dandelion in the eye of a tornado on a night dimly lit up by the fading, warning gibbous moon. Wiping the scales from my eyes, I woke up, untangling my limbs out of the mycelium web, spun in a kaleidoscope razor wire thread, winding spirals of psychedelic bungee cables within the walls of my exploding head. A prefrontal lobe C-section made me see the plasticity of reality, stirring the tides of all 7,000 seas, rising with techno-junkie tsunami rave waves, splashing onto Goa's shore with tie-dyed Buddhist appropriation. Spinning in a drowsy trip with hundreds of tabs open in my skull's browser, soft electric jazz music blows over and through me without a single saxophone note lifting me off the dusty floor to float through my mind's sky across the pond to New Orleans and the stumbling drumbeat falling off before hitting home. Alien night where both mythos and logos disperse, Lost in the Spice, Cigarette Smoke Rings, and Drifting Demon Daydreams, where my dark fantasy lands on the train tracks with bloodshot, puffy eyes and fingers crossed, mumbling for the trolley car level puller to divert the machine my way, hoping that he hears my telepathic begging when facing his cantina dilemma. End poem. He has very interesting liner notes here. We'll say, surreal and alternative art is an imaginarium where laws constructed by irrational scientific attempted experiments are discarded and disregarded in the same way we explore alternate states of consciousness. Demonology seemingly iterates into ontology as metaphysical philosophy merges with observable reality. So very interesting where he's kind of going, you know, way off of the norm, which is really what the artist is all about. So Bobby, what are your thoughts on this very interesting poem?
I was very impressed with it the first time I read it. I got to the bottom, and being the contest rule police, I noticed that he had no prompt. So I shot a note off to him, as I do to everyone who doesn't include a prompt. Could you please put a number in there? And he wrote back some of what he put in his AN, is that he basically went with the overarching theme of the artwork, which I thought was quite ambitious and very cerebral. And he does make a lot of his use of language. It, to me, is reminiscent of E.J. Cool, very articulate, very delving into the technical. And he mentions Kantianism and Kantian philosophy, which is the philosophy of Immanuel Kant, the German philosopher. It's just a very cerebral write. You don't go at this one casually. You really have to kind of hunker down and go through it with care. I mean, just in the first few stanzas, untangling my limbs out of the mycelium web. That in itself is beautiful because mycelium is it's a fungal the fungal threads, almost like the hydra. You know, they grow all over the place. They grow underground or above ground, and fruiting bodies of fungi sprout mycelium. So anytime you see a fungus that has these little thread-like things, that's mycelium. Which, you know, that's not a term that one just tosses out there haphazardly. and some of his metaphors. Spun in a kaleidoscopic razor wire thread, psychedelic bungee cables. I mean, it's got some really fascinating thought. And I like this one, with hundreds of tabs open in my skull's browser. I thought that was supremely good. He's got some great metaphors in here. I think he paints a fascinating word picture, and certainly not... certainly a complex one. This is a complex layered. So I really admire this piece. The fact that with his author's note, he really substantiates where he's coming from. So thoroughly impressive on several levels.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment on that. I even just like the title, Dreams Plus Psychedelic Drugs as Interdimensional Portals. And that's really where he went, you know. Poetry reminds me of music, and music reminds me of art. I think expression, self-expression, and exploration of abstract are kind of all one and the same. And this reminds me of music, of almost like improv music. Some of my favorite musicians were always ones that went outside the norm. I'm a big Frank Zappa fan, Rush, Pink Floyd, all these kind of Mahavishnu Orchestra, and all these bands that just do things that nobody else does. And this is where he's going. You know, I dissolved as a dandelion in the eye of the tornado. So he starts off right away that he's just going somewhere else. And what really got to me, my favorite line was a prefrontal lobe C-section. So he's basically taking his brain out and being reborn to see things in a different way. And I really think that's what the artist is doing as well, too. And then he just kind of goes trying to show how his mind is going in all different directions and seeing things that he's, I don't want to say aren't there, but are just something that's just completely different. And that's what he goes through with everything. The last line is really interesting. I had to look it up, and then I remember what it was. So when facing his Cantanium dilemma, and I believe that Cantanium, and I believe that refers to Immanuel Kant, which is basically an ethics person that is really revolved around duty and goals and doing your job. And so his Cantanium dilemma would have been, what am I supposed to do that I'm supposed to do, right? Yeah. Instead, I'm going, my dilemma is I'm really, I'm actually off on another planet all over the place as opposed to where I'm supposed to be. So I thought he hit it perfectly and actually really captured the artist very well. So awesome, awesome job, Eric. And with that, we're going to continue on here.
Comma about Kantian philosophy. Yeah, he was, from what I'm reading here, he was a political philosopher setting out basis for liberal views of political institutions. So that's some pretty heady stuff Scott included in. So like I said, I don't think this is a casual read.
No. Eric's either a complete genius by just doing this improv or he's put a lot of time into it. I tend to think a little bit of both. This is definitely a well thought out, great, great piece. So awesome job, Eric. All right, we're going to continue on.
Saying,
go ahead.
He reminded you of music. I was thinking, how very ecstatic of you.
excellent. All right, we're going to continue on here. So I got one for you, Bobby. I just posted called Isolation. Actually, this is not for you. I'm sorry. You're coming up next. This is a SoundCloud, and if we could have a SoundCloud pay for Weaver, that would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. We get to listen to the salty Scott.
Absolutely.
What can I say that's not already been said about the heart-stopping, gut-wrenching pain that COVID-19 has unleashed on the world? So much loss and so little gain. We can no longer become better people by reaching out to give someone a hug. Isolation isolates us emotionally too. We watch the news with a sigh and a shrug. So here's a rule that should not be forgotten, because they say close proximity is enough. Wear a mask if you find you have to go out, and bodies who have a person with a cough.
Great read as always, Weaver. And I thought this was really great to bring it into modern times here. It's a really, really interesting prompt number 28 for those who are following along, and that she put it with her poem. It really is a very interesting thing with COVID-19. I've become accustomed to it. I'm going out now, and I almost have my little methods. I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but I've been very, very disappointed in humanity, to be honest, how people have taken this. I really have. I don't think people, many people did, but many people didn't take it seriously. And all we had to do at the beginning was isolate and wear masks and stay away from each other, and everybody wouldn't do it. And so this is where we are today. We're in Massachusetts, in the United States, we're literally still getting about 1,000 cases a day. It's very sad. So I have my little routines. Exactly what Weaver said. I stay away from people. I bring masks with me. Unfortunately, and I'm not going to conventions and concerts and all that. I wish I could. I probably could go, but almost every time I hear somebody going, I hear somebody coming back and getting really sick and being sick for a long time. So this is kind of where we are, and it's a really interesting take on the prompt and on isolation, where she's picturing this guy that's on here where he's kind of in the dark by himself and like holding up a sign like, don't come near me or you could die. And that's a really, really interesting take on the prompt. Unfortunately, it's realistic. It's where we are. So great job, Weaver. Great read. I really appreciate the SoundClouds as always. Bobby, what do you think?
I liked her when I posted that particular prompt, I thought, I wonder where this is going to go. I do that from time to time as I'm posting the prompt. One of them will catch my mind, and I'll look at it and I go, I wonder who's going to do what with this, because some of them are clearly very provocative or inspirational, as the case may be. And I like the fact that she took what he has done with this, and it's a brilliant piece of artwork. Is he's got the man's lower portion of his face is the bottom of a skull, the lower jaw of a skull, and they've got COVID-19, stay home. And what she did with this, I think, was very timely, very current, and I think it expresses the overwhelming sentiment that I'm a hugger, and you know, when I had this, you know, the moratorium again, no hugging, no handshaking, you know, no contact of any kind. It felt so. Your world feels antiseptic after that. It feels sterile. You know, everyone's avoiding everyone else. So I like the way she did this, because they say close proximity is enough. Wear a mask if you find you have to go out and body swerve a person for the call. I like that. I hate to say it, but that was one of the tricks I used to use on the metro. If I wanted to sit by myself, I just started coughing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think, Kat, you know, what I've found is I'm not trying to make this into any kind of medical thing, but is a casual isn't really, it's like anything else. I mean, it's like any other cold, basically. You know, casual is probably okay. It's when you're with people for long periods of time, they're coughing right in your face, they're close to them. If you're just walking by somebody, if you're just whatever, most likely you're not going to catch it. It's like, again, like everything else, you know, just walking through a supermarket, most likely you're not going to get it. Most likely, standing with somebody and talking to them for, you know, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, sitting in a bar, that's where you're more likely. So it's just kind of common sense, but it's a very, very weird, scary time we're in.
I think part of the problem too is this was something for which the medical community had warned us, but was still wholly unprepared. We didn't know. No one had an idea for a long time how virulent it was, how transmittable it was. And so, unfortunately, our reaction to it was, as best we could, was just isolation and the smart things to do. Which are the smart things to do in any situation, like in the wintertime, when there is something viral going around. You know, keep your distance, wash your hands.
We just didn't do it. We didn't do it. I saw a picture from the. I'm sorry.
People wouldn't like you said. People simply wouldn't follow simple rules because they felt they were. I hate to say it, but there was a typical American reaction of I'm having my personal rights are being infringed on.
Yeah, and yeah, it was all like, over the world. I saw stuff all over the world for that. And, I saw a picture recently of the 1918 pandemic, and I saw this couple walking on the street with a mask that looked exactly like the mask we're using now. So the same thing.
Yeah.
Here's the difference between the 1918 one and the one now. Less people died then, and it was over way before. It was over a year ago, like done. With us, way more people are dead, and it's worldwide, and it's not over. That's the difference, and I'm not sure 100% why, but anyway, we could do a whole show on the pandemic, but I will not get off
the soapbox. You're absolutely right. Let's come back from tangent land and continue on.
I'll get off the soapbox. Everybody, stop writing me letters about things, whatever. It's I'm just saying
and
my
mail.
Piece. I don't mean any. I don't mean to start debates. Anyway, we have another. We have another SoundCloud, which is by Arcana Amore, and if we could get that played, that would be fantastic.
Love this one. Thank you.
its rampant oceans of wanton abandon, to wade through currents of foaming flesh that ebb and flow on tides of passion, yearning and moaning amid dreams of desire, writhing with arousal in carnal crescendos, amidst this orgy of orgasmic ecstasy, riding erotic waves of fornicating pleasure, twisting and turning in a tangle of lust, from copulating caverns rise columns of coitus that surge from depths of debauched depravity, where bodies merge in a frenzied maelstrom, delving deeply in squalls of sexual surrender, surfing on crests of drowning aphrodisia, as excited effluence wells droplets of ardor, quivering in ripples of ravishing rhapsodies. To scream sweet songs that sirens sing. These storms are embraced to coarse, calm horizons. All needs must be navigated to voyage with vigor. Then, towards calm waters, each vessel can sail into crystal serenity from the sea of sin.
SoundCloud, I don't know if that's original music or not. I like to think it is, and I love when people take, you know, so much time and effort to make such amazing SoundClouds and really put music into it. I mean, there was, he's talking about the for those following along, the picture is called The Sea of Sin. It is prompt number 29 on the contest. And he had the ocean sounds on there. He had the great kind of, you know, erotic music, and then his voice was just really amazing production. So this is a really interesting picture, and it's a picture of a woman, a naked woman, who's standing, and sea of flies, a whole bunch of naked bodies. And so a couple of ways, I think, to interpret the picture. You know, when I first saw it, when I interpreted it, is somebody who's rising above sin. So she's standing in the sea of sin, and she's rising above it. She's looking off towards the horizon, able to conquer that. That's the way I took it. But you could also take it as she's now looking and you know, the other way, and immersed in it, and just trying to see where is she going to go. And that's what he went there too. And he embraces it. I was thinking, like, is Bobby going to say this is really close to that level of, do we allow, you know, is it too much? Because he definitely pushed the limits of eroticism on this, and I thought it was great. I love when people push limits on anything. And I think he really, you know, got into that, you know, that temptation of ecstasy, but then even said at the very end, these storms are embraced to course calm horizons. So he is looking at the horizon on the picture. All needs must be navigated to voyage with vigor, then towards the calm water. So in order to conquer it, you need to embrace it, is what he's saying, which I do think is true. Yeah, any of our desires we have to embrace, right? You could even take it as food. You know, you can't lose weight. You can't, you know, control your, you know, if you have food problems by not eating. You have to embrace what you have. You have to, you know, learn how to control it and rise above it. And I think that's what he's getting here. And I thought it was definitely beautiful, well done. Again, I love the SoundCloud. Really interesting interpretation. So great job, Arcana. And what do you think, Bobby?
Well, I think he's a new writer for us.
I think so.
This is one of the first entries we got. When I read this, because I check, when we've got a contest going, I usually check in the morning and the evening to see if we've got anything new. And when this one popped up as an entry, I read it over, and I thought the language was beautiful, and I thought, oh, no. I can't have anybody except the author reading this. So I shot a note off to him. Could you please give us a SoundCloud on this? Because honestly, I said, I cannot see anyone putting the inflections where you want them on this piece except for the author. I said, please. And apparently he was maxed out on his SoundClouds. So he said he'll delete one and do one for us. And he did one the same day. And when I listened to it, I thought, oh, I'm so glad I asked him to do a SoundCloud because it just, I remember my comment, I said, I just listened to your SoundCloud and damn. And another, I don't think another reader could have delivered that right with the panache and the inflection, the style. With which his delivery was exquisite, his alliteration, his sensuality, subtle eroticism. I called it a libidinous word painting, titillating in the stream, but it's a smoldering rite, but very, very stylish, very exquisite. I think this is with the background music, like you said, it reminded me of the piece that Scott did some contests with that. We thought, oh man, this is great. So I was really glad he did the SoundCloud on this because the whole package is just a wonderful, wonderful entry. And I agree with you. I looked at the picture. This was a picture I swapped out. A picture. I found this one at the last minute, and I'd already had the contest posted, and I thought, oh no, I cannot leave this one out. It's interesting.
Yeah, no, this one, he really did a great job. And I always say that with art, the genius is in the details. And I think his genius came out. I mean, he, with the, like I said earlier, with the waves in the background and the music and the way he read it, and like you said, his inflections and just the writing itself. Awesome, awesome job. And I believe we have a guest star on here. I think Emmy has joined us.
Hello.
Emmy. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Oh, I'm good. I've been on a crazy poetry bin, or poetry phase, I guess.
Yeah, I saw that. I was
on
a show with you the other night. You and I were both guests, and then and I think I heard you on Sinner and Saint, didn't I, the other night, too?
Yeah, I was on Sinner and Saint. Yeah, very true.
Excellent. Well, really glad you could join. I know you said on the chat you can be on for about 20 minutes, so I'm glad you joined and said hi. Absolutely. Did you get to hear that last SoundCloud or read the poem?
I did not really get a chance to hear the SoundCloud, no.
You're in for a treat.
That's okay. Yeah, definitely check it out when you have some time, but
I will.
Other things happen. Let's move forward here. So since you only have a few minutes, I would actually like you to read the next one. Emmy, it would be great if you don't mind. We'll start off with you. And it is by Afasiana called Puzzled, if you wouldn't mind giving that a read.
Oh, yeah, that sounds wonderful. Okay. Let's see here. So this is Puzzled by Asasiana. Solving outside helps inside click into place. Illogical placement realigned reflects in my face. All sides identical to the average perspective spins the senses of neurodivergent level perceptive. When the static between thoughts cracks my visage, I seek games with control to salvage identity jumbled. I find comfort in regulations, living puzzle open to manipulations. End poem.
Excellent read, excellent read. Bobby, why don't you start us off?
Oh, I like Afasiana's approach to things. She has a very philosophical bend to her, a flavor to her writing, and this brevity is so very in keeping with her style. The rhyming is spot on, and it's complex. I mean, you've got perspective, perceptive, visage, salvage, regulations, manipulations. But she tells a great story. She takes the prompt and does a very creative, imaginative interpretation of it. When the static between thoughts cracks my visage, I seek games with control to salvage. Very clever. And she finds comfort in regulations, living puzzle open to me. This is a superb brevity. Very, very compact, very, very economical write. And I think very deeply philosophical.
I agree. That's a great great comments. Afasiana is a very, very intelligent woman, and she, I think, really captured this painting here, this picture. And I love all of her lines. So I think what she's really talking about is how we do get kind of warped around and changed, and we become puzzled ourselves. We're confused about life. And she's always talking about the Zen aspect of doing these puzzles, and that's kind of what, like, the Rubik's Cube that this guy's doing in here can be. You do these things, and it's almost like a form of meditation. You know, people always think that meditation can be just sitting there and thinking. I don't necessarily think that's it. Like, I always write when I'm walking. To me, it's a form of meditation. You know, television can actually be a form of meditation because you're concentrating on this one thing. And, you know, she's basically saying, you know, you solve these puzzles to kind of solve the puzzle of yourself. So when static between thoughts cracks my visage, I seek games with control to salvage. So she can control these games. She can make them all better. Identify jumbled, I find comfort in regulations. Living puzzle open to manipulations. So she's, you know, really interpreting that, I think, exactly how the picture is. I thought she did a fantastic job. Like you said, the rhyming and the meter of this, the compositional part was spot on as well too. So I'm you know, definitely a fan of Afasiana's, and always like to see her poems on here, and she did a fantastic job. Speaking of fantastic job, Emmy, you did a great job reading it. What did you think when you were reading it?
Yeah, definitely very interesting phrasing. I noticed just in the first line, solving outside helps inside click into place. And I think there's that sense of just trying in a way to portray this sort of jumbling, if that makes sense. And I think the line that really stuck me was just salvage identity jumbled, which is kind of meant to flow into the other, despite the capitalization indicating otherwise. It's just like wanting to fix things and finding comfort in regulations. I think the other thing too, when you're in a more vulnerable spot in life, you can end up on the wrong path, I guess, via being manipulated by others. And so, in the sense like trying to kind of fix who you are, you find comfort in like certain things like regulations, for instance, and then you become more easy to manipulate as a result of that, right? It becomes easy to like draw you in. And that's a very like powerful thing. Yeah, it was a great piece, no question.
Excellent.
And I had fun reading it.
Yeah, you did a great job and really great insights, Emmy. I appreciate that. Yeah, the comfort and regulations, after you even mentioned it again, I was thinking about it more, and I really relate to that as well, too. I think everybody does, right? How many times are you off and you're having adventures and everybody likes them, right? You're doing crazy different things. But eventually, you're like, I just kind of want to go home, you know, and that's what you're looking for is that, say, you know, when you go home, it's this regularity. It's this thing you're used to. You know where everything is. You know how things work. And everybody needs that in their life. You can't just be constant chaos. You have to have something that's regular that you can kind of go back to and feel that comfort in it. And I really think that's a great line. Awesome. All right, so Bobby, I think it's been like 4 poems now I promised that you could read, and then we had sound clouds and all kinds of things. So this one, but you get the honor of reading Mr. Scott Sharp here, which I'll give one more last shout out to. He has a brand new book out, which I'm excited that I actually took the front cover picture for. He was kind enough to honor to use my picture in the front cover. So if you reach out to Scott or look him up on any of the websites you buy books at, Amazon and all that, he's got a great new book out. I believe it's called For the Love of Poetry, and everybody should go buy 500 copies for all their friends. But Scott's a great poet, and
okay.
You get the honor of reading this poem.
Hey, and he sent me a note, and he said I wasn't able to get this into the contest in time, but I would still like to submit it. So I tacked it on today to make sure that his effort did not go unacknowledged. So, A Slave Knows Words by S. Sharp. Words grabbed me, reaching out to pull me into the pages. A slave pulled behind a hard-charging steed. Wounds opening, dust stirring up, blood. Anger, words, hitch my hands at the waist. Rope slung over a nearby limb, pulled up off the ground. Bareback, delivered the switch, skin lashed open. Blood, I wail. Words cut me down, left me to die, gasping, barely breathing, ready to die. Words, words. And poem.
Great read. And it's a really interesting prompt for those following along, prompt number one. It's a picture of a book, but then a kind of a hand reaching out the book and someone's face coming out of it as well, too. So the person is really kind of entwined in the book. And the way he really took it was, to me, A Slave Knows Words, where this person is really enthralled in the book. And this one's almost like a... like something that's almost killing them. You know, we could get really philosophical here, but it could almost be a religious text or something where they're just, or a political text, something that's really, really reaching them and killing them. You know, we had this conversation the other day on the last show where words are really the thing that has killed more people and caused more peace and love in the world than anything else. You know, people say religion, people say politics, but it's all words that started. In fact, I think Emmy made the comment the other day about World War One, where it wasn't the killing of Archduke Ferdinand. It was what people talked about it. I think Emmy made that comment. I think Scott, as usual, really did a great job with this. Words hitch my hands at the wrist, rope slung over a nearby limb, pulled me off the ground, bareback. So it's almost like these words took him and hung him and just reached into him. And that is what the written word can do. It's words are beautiful and important and can bring so much greatness, but they're also extremely dangerous. So great job, Scott. Emmy, let's go with you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's kind of funny. Someone actually remember that dumb joke that I told. But yeah, I mean, it is. I feel like it is true. I think the second stanza, hitch my hands with the wrist rope slung over nearby limb, pulled up off the ground. Deliver the switch, skin lashed open. I feel, in a way, one thing that may also be somewhat referenced here might actually also be just lynchings, in a way. And I suppose, I mean, I could be way off on that in truth, but, like, just in terms of thinking about the nature of them and how most of them were directly tied to words, like we've been kind of saying, you know, allegations, accusations, things like that. And so it's just, it's one of those things that's like really harrowing. And I think it's really important that like we have more stuff that kind of understands the importance of speech, the importance of words, and how significant that is, and understanding the actual death toll that can be attributed to words, I think is extremely important, especially when talking about slaves, not just in the past, but also in the modern sense.
Yeah, really, really interesting, Emmy. I appreciate those comments, and it's interesting you bring up lynching and slaves and all that. I've always said that, you know, words are how you use them, right? So I can say, hey, that black guy over there, or I can say, hey, that black guy over there. Just that little inflection shows hatred as opposed to just, you know, a description of somebody. And you know, the way you use your words, you know, use them cautiously because they can cause, you know, serious damage or promote love and compassion. So great, great comment. All right, Bobby, you got the floor.
And if you tether that to cultural nuance,
mm-hmm.
And really, you could really find yourself in a morass. You cited World War One. I'll cite my favorite example from World War Two, and the reason Japan got the shit bombed out of them. They got bombed almost into the Stone Age, was because we did not understand their culture. They did not understand ours. We issued the ultimatum to them to surrender unconditionally, or we would rain havoc on them. Their response was very typically culturally Japanese. They engaged in what is referred to as mokotatsu. And mokotatsu, literal translation, means to kill with silence. They did not respond to our ultimatum, thinking that by not responding, we would not be provoked because they had not given us an answer. And rather than interpret their lack of response as simply not, you know, not giving us an answer, we took it as basically up yours. And so we bombed them into the Stone Age twice. And because we did not understand, and even the, I think the leadership had mokotatsu explained to them, and it is still a cultural prevalent that it's considered just an etiquette. And you don't mention certain things, and that's the way there's words, and there's also a lack of words, a lack of response that will trigger these things too. So I think this is an eloquent illustration of both words, damning and lack of words or a cultural misunderstanding is the damning people. So it's interesting. It's got sides of the same coin.
Yeah, great comments. To the point where I'm extremely mm-hmm. tempted to just sit here and comment on them, and we'll be here all night because you guys are bringing it. but we actually have other poems to get to, and not only do you have other poems to get to, I believe we have some other guest stars on the show right now. Who else joined?
Oh, do we?
Yes. I think it's Lou. I think Lou joined.
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, hey Lou.
And
I heard you laugh,
can I make
so
a comment, please?
Of course.
You know, I agree. This could be the variety of everything everybody said. You know, this went in different directions to me. You know, sometimes people look down on you because of your race or your amount of education. And, you know, and then, you know, when we read history or we read articles or we're reading our own ethnic history where we look back to see how we were treated and our race, and we read the words of others. And, you know, when I read that, for me, it pangs me. It bleeds at my heart, and sometimes I do cry when I do read words, and whether it's, you know, like you are bringing out, it could be history, it could be ethnic history, it could be religious history, it could be also the attitude people have towards us as they look down upon us, and their words. And like you were saying earlier, these words cut, and they also burn into our soul and mind, and at times we can't forget them, and some, you know, until you know, especially if it's towards us personally, going into a personal area, you know, sometimes you wish you could die when you read all this stuff, because it does affect us physically, emotionally, and mentally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially, you know, on a show and a group of people like us who are, you know, wordsmiths, right, word obsessed. You said that beautifully, Lou. And I'm going to comment on one thing that Emmy said earlier. She said, I can't believe some of it, because I quoted Emmy of the World War II mm-hmm. one. And I want to say, Emmy, we mm-hmm. listen on this show. We actually listen to each other. So I thought that was a fantastic point, and I remembered it. And I think we might have even another guest. Do we have Truth on with us tonight? Truth Chills.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Truth.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey, Truth.
Hi.
So excited you joined. All right, we got a party here tonight, so we got to get cranking. Truth, did you get to hear that last poem, and would you like to comment on it?
I did not get to hear it. I just joined you guys. I'm sorry.
No problem at all, but why don't we get crank in here, and I'm going to post the next one, because now we got all kinds of fun here.
Lucky,
so we have
lucky
one
you,
by,
Dan.
I'm telling you.
Lucky
got,
you, Dan.
Got,
you're surrounded
this,
by estrogen.
It's my lucky night, all these beautiful women on here. My lucky night. All right, so we got one by Neutron Bomb, which is always fun to have on here. So, Lou, why don't you give this one a read?
Okay, it'd be my pleasure. And this is titled Thriving on My Survival by Neutron Bomb. Crap fillings and sharp canines nibble at my nape, buckling on my aura, a symptomatic delicatessen from which to trawl for a charactery of energetic vibration. Grit-filled sugar syrup amasses at my seized vocal cords. I choke on my dizzying nitrous laughter. The hourglass splinters into shards, bulbous temporal veins paper cut by the sand that escaped the darkened abyss. Parasites are rotund and bound by an inertia, engulfed by the mirror ripples that await. Hands cringe at me at the waist, and the onyx air percolates through my irises, obfuscating the sandman. Frames of gilded gold flock against garish hairlines and Talon's ribbed with edema. His obsidian fingertip draw me in like venomous corpuscles pinching at the hair adrift my goosebumps. Imprint and antennae pulse the blindfolded path of Hades. I was plucked from the netherworld, born of the horned beast, and shall return. End poem. Wow.
Awesome read. You never disappoint, Lou. I really appreciate it. And Truth, let's start with you. What are your thoughts?
That was a very deep, intense poem. The third paragraph where she says that the hands cinch me at the waist and the onyx air percolates through my irises. The fact that she still has her senses after the first two paragraphs kind of shows me that it's a battle that's it's a continuous, you know, that's how I would see it. It's something that is deep and it's continuous, and she's learned how to tolerate the first two paragraphs. There's a lot of stuff in there that I think a lot of people will not be able to walk through, but just seeing that she's changed, to me it seems as if she has risen up to the challenge and is able to see what it is, it's a thing that it is, and what its possibilities or what its intentions are, and she's not running from it, she's facing it. So I think that awesome reading too.
Excellent comment. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And yeah, it was a great reading. You got to read it. Lou, what are your thoughts? You're mutating over there, I think, Lou. Oh, I think the technology monster might have gotten Lou. I'm not sure what's happening.
Oh, no, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay, sorry. I don't have a mute in my butt, didn't it? We're having bad storms, so I don't know if the thing's going out. You know, what I enjoyed about this is that at times there are things that just eat and thrive on you while you're trying to survive. You know, sometimes we can't move our body, but our minds are still awake. And, you know, and I really liked where, you know, she says those energetic vibrations, grit-filled sugar, syrup and masses, and seize my vocal throat. How some, you know, for me, that is the temptation of darkness that we may get interested in. And then without realizing it, she talks about this man, Sandman, pulls at that darkness. You know, it just kind of makes me think, you know, because we've seen movies about this where you'll go into an art museum and you'll see these paintings and you sit in front of it. Or at home, you take it home and it's in front of you. And without realizing it, it's pulled that whatever is in that painting, the image of darkness, pulls us in and tries to suck the life out of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean, there was great imagery in here. This was beautifully done, as always, by Neutron. Bobby, what do you think? What's going on in that mind of yours?
I was listening to Lou Yu and thinking of Night Gallery, which was one of my favorite shows. I love God bless. Blessed be the name of Rod Serling. Anyway, this is speaking of Rod Serling. I think Neutron's right is right up there. It's very dark, very very atmospheric. Right here, we have hands cinch me at the waist, and the onyx percolates through my irises, obfuscating the Sandman. Great, she's got some great lines in there. Great metaphors, the descriptions. I choke on my dizzying nitrous laughter. I've always admired the thought process that Neutron uses. I don't understand it, but I admire it. she comes up with a visual imagery that it's kind of like, you know, the sardine and strawberry jam sandwiches. I never would have thought of that combination. But she gets her story told, and she does it with a lot of style. And, I mean, just talons ribbed with edema, garish hand lines, and just the visual imagery. It's so dark, but it is sophisticatedly, I'm looking for it. It's dark like black satin is dark. You know, it's smooth. It flows, and it's definitely very atmospheric.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. I agree. All right, since Truth was so nice to join us tonight, Truth, I put yours up on the board. If you want to give it a read, that would be great.
Sure, thank you. My title is Who Me? For some insane reason, I understand this man's thinking in almost all his paintings. It's a trip how a man from Toronto has a mind as deep as mine, don't you know? It was hard for me to choose, so I'll run down my feelings on a few. Hope I don't lose for misuse of the instructions. I'll blame it on compulsion. Prompt number 2 is how I felt being trapped in another person's manipulation. Trying to play me as a fiddle, but did not win, only taught me a few notes on how to be a master manipulator. Prop number 3, anything forced will be distorted, especially my voice and my choices. Take a closer look, see how silencing me brings out the best dress. Prop number 4, reminds me that things are closer than they look, especially danger, and it will use the familiar like a hanging picture. Prop number 7, now you see me. I'm all about being as inconspicuous as the elephant in the room. What you see is only the illusion I perceive to be. Prompt 14. I'm missing parts of my whole self, lost to tragedies done to me. I know who I am. It's just I'm not always sure when or where I am. Survival brings out those parts of me that only surface when I'm faced with repeated history. Prompt 24. This one sums me up in one line, Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde. We all have a dark side, and most know where to draw the line before one merges with the other. Not me. See, I'll push the limit until I blur reality with insanity and breathe a sigh of relief when I escape, but there is forever the danger that it overtakes me. End poem.
Excellent, excellent read, Truth. Thank you very much. And I had never really read your poetry much before, and it just the style of this really got me. So I actually went on your profile and read a bunch of your poems, and I saw this is kind of the style you have, and it's a style that I try to do sometimes. I try to do different styles, and sometimes the style comes across as almost just like a autobiographical discussion, which is kind of what you're having here, and that's why I related to it a lot. I do this a lot sometimes and wonder how it's going to come out. So it's one of the things I actually admired about this was the style that you're doing, and I always, you know, I write sometimes in styles like this and wonder, is this really poetry? But then I said, who can judge poetry?
Yeah,
in fact, you know what I'm saying? I actually just wrote a poem about it. It was one for a Frank Zappa, who I'm a huge fan of, and I've said it in other poems. I said, is this really poetry? And I said, well, who's going to tell me what poetry is and isn't? And do I even really know? No, of course I don't. You know, it's just expression. And so it was the style that really brought me to it. But then I really enjoyed how you did relate. You know, I look at contests like this, and it is really hard to not relate to multiple things. The very first poem we had tonight was on every poem. It wasn't even on an actual prompt. It was on the whole idea of the artist, which I think is something you also encapsulated too. So I enjoyed the fact that you related to so many of the prompts, and you gave such a personal write. So I thought that was great.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make sure I commented on that. So I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go with a little. Go ahead. Did you want to say something about it? Actually, about your poem.
I do actually. It took me a minute to. Usually, when I read through the contest, it takes me but a second to choose one, and I just write it out, you know, because that's just how I've always been. If it interests me, you know, and it's easy for me to write sometimes, and sometimes it's not. You know, I can't say I take days to ponder over something and read. I write within my heart about whatever the topic is. This one got me for a loop, though. I was looking at these guys' pictures, and I'm thinking, man, there is somebody sick out there like me, you know. I couldn't figure out which poem to actually base, because each one spoke to me in a different way where I really understood where he was coming from. And the fact that he used his daughter, his youngest daughter, as his, you know, prop, kind of weirded me out a little bit. Like, wow, you know, some of these pictures are intense, but it just, I really enjoyed this this challenge. So I said, well, I'm going to write on a few of them and see if I get disqualified because it's supposed to be one particular prop. But thank you so much.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. So, Lou, let's go with you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this truth very much. What I liked, is it surreal? When we look at it, it's surreal. But when we look deeper into these pictures, we find the realness of our personality and our life in the different things that we have gone to, because we change with every event. And, you know, I liked how you said, is his mind as deep as mine? And, you know, we can just fall into the picture and we can see pieces of ourselves, the pieces that we've gone through, how you've dealt with manipulation, how things can, you know, when we go through life, the choices we make can get distorted. And then I also like, you know, the danger. Sometimes we just flirt with danger and we know it and we just plow on through. And I'm gonna stop there so somebody else can comment, because I could comment on everything. Stand by. I loved it. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Lou. All right, Bobby, what's happening over there?
I'm probably going to make an obscure reference here, so forgive me, but I think anyone who's heard me enough times knows my mind works in strange ways.
Bobby, love you.
I appreciate that. I really do. in reading it, the style of it, I see several prompts in here, which I always admire you. It's ambitious to take several prompts and try and blend them. And I've done it on more than one occasion. The one that Pam had with the photographer and all the pictures of all the different cultures around the world, I used them all, and I just blended it. And my approach is more like a soup. I throw everything in one pot and I stir like crazy. This approach, and forgive me, if you're old enough, I think you'll understand this reference. This is a Dagwood sandwich. Every layer is distinct, and I think that's an interesting approach, because each particular prompt gets its own individual focus. And you still see it as a combined work. You step back and you see it as the whole, but you still are able to see the individual layers. And I'll post a picture of a Dagwood sandwich so everybody understands what that was.
Thank you.
But it is, and I this is an interesting approach, because it's and the fact that you found so many of those images speaking to you. You had to agonize over which one spoke the loudest.
Yeah.
It's wonderful that you were able to undertake, what have we got, a half dozen of them here? That's a pretty strenuous lift for a poet to be able to blend all that together. But your approach is to keep them discreet, which I find interesting. And it's diametrically opposed to what I do, because I throw it all in a pot and stir like crazy. I like your style because you were able to appreciate each individual reference, but it's still you're embracing them all at once. So I really enjoyed your piece. I like what it had to say.
Thank you. I would have added
excellent
them all,
Bobby,
but I didn't want to run out of minutes. I mean, out of how much I could write on this, so I just take the ones that I thought, you know, were the most standing out to me, so thank you.
Of course, of course. And I'm going to use my psychic abilities here. I think Gray might actually be on the line, I think. I'm guessing. Not sure. Ah, he's not. He's just on the chat. My psychic abilities stink. I saw Gray on the chat, so I hope hopefully he'll call in. But hey, Gray. But who else is on the chat, which is Frank, Poetic Picasso, and he's been waiting patiently.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a SoundCloud, luckily, as always, from Frank.
Ooh.
So if we can play that, that would be fantastic. Awesome job as always, Frank. Thank you very much. And I'm curious, Frank, if you could put in the chat where you get your background music from, because your background is always really interesting. I'm really curious about that. But I do believe we actually do have Gray on the phone this time. Hey, Gray, are you with us?
Hey, Daniel. Hey, Bobby. Hi, Lou. Hi, Cam.
Hey.
Hey, Gray.
Hey, hello.
So excited to hear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Gray, since you're here, why don't we start with you? What'd you think?
I thought he did a fantastic job with his SoundCloud, as usual. But, you know, the right is, but it captured Trump amazingly well. You know, it speaks to his bravado and his lovership. You know, it it really captures the prompt with, I enter like a thief into the realm with your lustful longing for my caressing lips. The light bulb slowly dims with a dip of heat and of the humidity. I remove the silk blanket as you grab tightly onto my cheeks. I mean, that's pretty graphic, descriptive nature. And I just thought it was a fabulous poem. Well done, Frank.
Great comment. Yeah, I mean, these are very graphic, descriptive prompts, so we're certainly getting that. You know, as usual, people are really responding to them. Great job. Lou, what are your thoughts?
Okay. I need to save some money to purchase that huge, surreal picture of a naked man on my wall where I sleep. Oh, my God. Okay, where, you know, where he says, L'amante, no. No sono in carne il maestro del tuna ni por mi famia. You know that I am the flesh, the master of your nymphomania. And I loved how he showed that in the imagery of his couplets where, oh, my God, my love, where he says, and your naked body is drenched in the eroticism of my manly aroma, a seductive odyssey into the depth of a lyrical orgasmic emission. And this, oh, my goodness, this just like it almost leaves you breathless. I enter like a thief into the realm of your lustful longing for my caressive lips. The light bulb slowly dims with a dip of heat in the humidity. You could built up the steam until it literally exploded in eroticism. Oh, this was fantastic, Francisco.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lou and Bobby.
Do I really have to say something?
Are you still trying to hear it, Jeff?
Well, you know,
you can just blow Frank a kiss and say thank you.
Oh.
And just say thanks.
Oh, if you're in a hole, stop digging. And it seems like all I ever do when I get around Frank's poetry is I just keep digging deeper. I think when I put the prompt up there, that particular prompt, prompt 32, I took one look at it and I said, if I were working, I would comfortably take a month's paycheck and lay it even odds that Frank is going to write to this one. I just in my military mind, I knew. And when it popped up there, I went, thank you, Frank, for not disappointing me. But no, he's taken what's a very provocative picture and given it such a wonderful, exotic, erotic, sensual backstory. I mean, that's, the picture could go in any number of directions, as we all well know. But he's taken it and given it such a wonderfully romantic and passionate bend that it's really is. When I read it, I thought, oh, this is great. I love this. So once again, well done, Frank, and you do not disappoint.
Never does. All right, cool. I think we have one more SoundCloud, and we're going to do that one. This one is by Stelina, called Harlem Nights. And if we could play that, that would be fantastic. Harem Nights.
As the voyeuristic moon playfully peeps, they sit, liberated in naked splendor, brazenly bearing rose-tipped delight, flavored with dripping juice from exotic fruit, inviting the lover to taste. With fragrant oils they caress their bodies to thrill the senses in idyllic, intimate embraces, adorning their silken, creamy curves with tantalizing trinkets and silken scarves, accentuating their alabaster skin, bewitching and beguiling their inamorati. They begin their slow, sybaritic seduction. They will dance, sensuously swaying, snaking sinuous hips, promising pulsating the rhythm of love. In the canopy of night, under a blushing moon, orgasmic moans are carried on the whispering breeze until soft amber skies announce the break of dawn. Then, reclining, replete and radiant in the afterglow, they drift away into delicious dreams.
Great read. I don't know what to, is this the Exploring Euphrasia show or the Art of Seduction show? I don't know what's going on here, but what's happening over here? But no, fantastic read, Selena, and I think Frank had said he'd used that music before. The production on these SoundClouds tonight is really amazing. That was a beautiful read and a great production, awesome poem. Great job. And I think we have a new guest on. Who do we have that just joined?
Hello.
Hey, guys. You joined?
I reckon tour. I'm new, but not.
Hey,
I've been
Reckon
around
tour.
The world.
Great to have you join. Welcome to the Saturday Night Crazy Club. Glad to have you.
Oh well, if it's crazy, then I want to vote for president. Then.
There you go. So thanks for joining. Absolutely. I'll actually start with you. Did you get to hear the poem and read it?
Most of it. Like you said about Art of Seduction, I thought that was the program I dialed into based on what I heard. The music. Well, you know, I happen to be blind now, so I can't read the topic board. Well, the phone can read it to me, but you know, I can't. Anyway, my problem. But it was wonderfully sensual. That music for me, anyway, always conjures images of the silks and the dancing, and you know, the closest thing I could say is the way I dream a genie dress, you know, and then the dance of the seven veils type thing that kind of goes with that, but you know, and I guess that kind of goes with the harem thought, you know, but I thought the wording was gorgeous and enticing. It was beautiful.
Excellent. Thank you. Great comment. Gray, how about you?
Yeah, she did a wonderful job on her SoundCloud, I agree. And, you know, the poem is a beautifully painted, descriptive picture of the prompt, and I thought she did a wonderful job with the exotic and erotic nature to the poem. So just a beautiful write and read.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Luyu.
Oh, my God, this was just deeply sensual. The imagery just drew you in, and of course with the music, you know, this reminded me so much of the Irish and the English, where they would, the women would go into the woods, these spiritual women that were either being ordained, and you know that, and it just, I just got pulled into it because there, you know, there's so many stories and history written about this, where the women will go out into the waters, and the Egyptians, and I'm sure that there's other different races and cultures that did the same thing, and you know they how do I say whatever, however they did it, whether they were together all naked, whether they were together in these ceremonies where, you know, sometimes it was sexual, like with the Egyptians. And that's what I thought of. And I thought she beautifully brought out those types of cultures and religious things. And I can't find the words that I'm trying to say, but I really love this.
Yeah, absolutely great. Thank you, Lou. And Bobby.
I'm getting a sense you're looking for something that's it's pagan in its flavor.
Yes.
The women going into the woods, those are the wicked
yes.
followers.
Yes.
Would,
ritualistic.
Wiccan, mm-hmm. That Wicca, that would they would commune with the tree spirits and the earth spirits,
mm-hmm.
and their high holy days are the yeah. equinoxes, solstices, and their driving forces are nature, and
mm-hmm.
Again pagan, very similar bond,
yeah.
almost Native American in its flavor in its.
Yeah, the Druids,
the earth,
and yeah, mm-hmm.
earth and for nature and those
yes.
Reigning forces. She's got this is a just an exquisite piece. Her reading voice is so smooth and creamy. She's got a verse here that a piece that is so sensual. I mean, this is some. Some really subtly erotic. As you've got, they dance, just bewitching and beguiling in their inamorati.
Mm-hmm.
They begin their mm-hmm. slow, sybaritic seduction. They will dance, sensually swaying, snaking, sinuous hips, promising, pulsating rhythms of love. I mean, just the words. Are dancing on the page. She's got the visual imagery that she's conveyed here in her writing is so so vivid, so it leaps off the page. And I have to say, her interpretation of this prompt, which I thought was, I looked at the, I thought this is beautiful. I wonder, you know, where it's going to go. And her interpretation of it is just so. Exotic and exquisite. It is a very, very provocative light, and I really enjoyed what she did with the prompt.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to move on here. And Gray, if you could read this one by Eric Svensson. It's called Framed Thought.
Sure. Mighty thoughts framed in gold. Frisbee, light upon a whim. Swift flight over gray cobblestones. Dreary, dull, alley fled. Buffed and bronzed on a beach. Sun and surf, more likable turf. Alley cat daydream. Can you flex breeze, placed second. Mind escapes to proverbial paradise. Winter's drab, nabbed by flight of imagination. If you can dream it, you can do it. Buffed in bronze on a beach, reality swapped for a surrealistic dream. Sun and surf throws caution to the wind, unwind from winter's demure straitjacket. Freewheeling seagulls beckon, feathered schemes boomerang back. Flighty whims tend to do just that. Ace of base, chuck the grinding stone. Strip down, lose the patent leather shoes, shimmy golden sands through toes, go native under azure skies, unbuckle, lose the hat, reality's turk increases, centrifugal pullback. Can you really do it if you dream? Great cobblestones, smart, the mirror alley scuffs. Get on with your job, Buster, end poem.
That was a great read, Gray. Thank you. Let's go with Louie. What do you think?
You know, what I really loved about this painting was, you know, the Europeans, how they use rock, the ancient way to use rock for their roads. And then I liked the modernization of the buildings on the side, and that this man that was captured in this picture, you know, it's modern because of the hats, but in ancient times, the Greeks and the Romans used to paint the marble structures. And over time, it lost its color and paint, and it exposes the white marble. And this is what it reminded me of, you know, especially with that first stanza. Flighty thought framed in gold, frisbee light upon a whim, swift flight over gray cobblestones. And, you know, that's just, you know, that's where it just took me there. For me, he modernized the ancient with the modern lifestyle, and I thought that was brilliant. I really enjoyed this.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you. And Recanter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like this a lot. You know, the idea of walking down a path resonates very much. She said modernizing. I thought it was really a creative way of bringing, you know, combining the two eras, because he was talking about a lot of the piece was talking about the sands as well. So, you know, you got the road. It almost felt like you're walking in between both worlds. And that speaks to me of daydreaming a lot, because, you know, you kind of bounce in and out of your dreams. You know, one minute you're you know, drifting off, and then something shakes you back and snatches you back to reality for a minute. And then you just drift off again because you can't resist, you know, the sands and the seagulls and everything. But I just wanted to mention, too, you know, I mentioned the modernization, you know, the shout-outs to things like the Ace of Base and whatnot, you know, things that didn't exist back in the day, kind of gave it a timelessness. So I thought it was a wonderful, very open-to-interpretation piece.
Yeah, I agree. That's great insight. I do like the back and forth between dreams and reality. I thought that was a really interesting comment. Great. You did a great job reading it. What did you think?
I thought Raconteur's comment was spot on. You know, I like the flighty daydream, you know, being captured in gold, and then, you know, the shifting between being in reality and being in surreality is very fluid, and it really carries you between both worlds quite easily. Reality's torque increases, centrifugal pullback. Can you really do it if you dream? Gray cobblestones, smart, Gamora Alley scoffs. Get on with your job, Buster. Wake up. great poem.
Wake up!
Absolutely. All right, great. And Bobby, if you want to give a week, got a bunch to still do. If you want to give a quick comment, and then the next right AR Mundle called The Long Debate is up for you.
We have left?
A whole bunch, 7 or 8. Okay. We went from you and me to this whole great crowd. So we started this party, all of a sudden.
What
like,
happens when you leave the door open? It's what happens
I'm
when
telling
you, leave
you,
the
you
door
know.
Open.
We leave the door with a big sign that says, yeah, friends,
yeah.
It says beer.
I like
beer.
They
yeah,
said there would
that.
Be cake.
They said there would be cake.
They said there would be cake.
I like what Eric did with this. When I posted this, I thought that this had endless possibilities. But the fact that he superimposes one period over another period, and I love where he goes, lose the hat, unbuckle the shoes. He talks about the cup, and he's calling out details on this wonderfully well in his piece. But Louis, right? It's almost reminiscent of Michelangelo's a figure of day in the Cappella de' Medici in Florence. Just the carved the way the muscles are carved and outlined. If this were in marble. Totally believable, but the fact that it is very suggestive of the Michelangelo's sculpting, in that it's in its anatomical accuracy is just beautiful. But it really is interesting the way it does suggest going back and forth between dreams and reality. So I really like the way he's done this. Wonderful interpretation of the prompt.
Absolutely, yeah, great comment. Yeah, and nobody, and everybody just comment, you know, I was just kidding. We'll carry over whatever's here. We want to, you know, make sure everybody gets their comments in. That's what we all want to hear, and I'm sure all the poets want to hear. But it is your turn to read. If you would give us the honor of reading A.R. Mumble's poem, that would be great.
What? Do you want me to do this?
Yeah.
I can do that.
That would be great.
I don't even need a reason. What the hell? like I said, hope just lost it. Okay, where am I?
I can post it again if you want.
Oh no, my computer, when I tell it to refresh, it has other ideas. So, okay, here we go. Long debate. It does as it pleases. Long debate by A.R. Mundell. The long debate over each and every action we take, like a game of chess lodged in the mirror, which we play our whole lives long. Both sides, the same person, but advocates to the slightest of changes. Pitted against each other, black versus white, where variants are horses moving in right angles, galloping to take ground. And the castles guard the baseline, the logic which pitted self against self, held strong by the faith of the bishop, preaching its side to all diagonals, bypassing logic to reach the heart, holding to the doctrines which stirred the soul into indecision, whilst the queen remains unmoved, ever persistent in her unblockable path, breaking over simple logic of forward and left to stop the argument in its tracks. And the king sits and waits and watches, protected by all facets of the feud, sat upon the throne, brain of a balanced scale, with the air of a judge, the final deciders of which decision will triumph. End colon.
Awesome read. And AR's been kind of a regular on the show. I always enjoy Amy's writing. Thank you for putting it on here. And let's go with Raconteur.
I enjoy this very much. You know, back in high school, I was always a nerd. I'm still a nerd. So, you know, I mentioned high school because, you know, the perennial chess club, you know, that kind of thing. And he described the game of chess very well. You know, the idea of strategy, that was always my appeal for the game. You know, it plays out differently. There's so many possibilities and thoughts. And, you know, no matter how good you are, someone can always, you know, outthink you or trick you or trap you. So it brings about, you know, a lot of parallels for the metaphor of life, you know, the idea of trying to, you know, do something to get somewhere, to kind of coax out your goals. Anyway, I don't want to take too long. I enjoyed it a lot, and I thought he did a great job representing the game and the idea of how the pieces move and what they represent.
Awesome. Thank you. Let's go with Louie.
Raconteur, I'm a nerd. Push up my glasses. You know, this reminded me, it wasn't just chess, but it also reminded me of debate. How we gain all the knowledge and decide which move we're going to take. And, you know, I mean, how many of us do not self-talk? And, you know, when there's a change, you know, I really like this where the horse is moving a right angle galloping. You know, sometimes we just gallop in the wrong direction. And, you know, then other times logic kicks in where it's our mind over our heart, our heart over our mind. And sometimes if we're lucky, they both will blend together because our heart tends to accept things that our mind won't. And then our mind, like it says, the queen ever persistent in her unblockable path, you know, where you start to move and you start to see, and sometimes you can only move a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left. You know, we have that little bit of wiggle room but the king knows what's right and what's wrong. And after you gather everything, just like in chess, you've got to move, whether it's in our life, whether it's at work, at home, our love life, we have to make these decisions. And hoping that everything that comes together, we hope that it's the right one. Fantastic. This was so well written.
Awesome, Lou. Really appreciate it. What are your thoughts, Gray?
You know, I kind of got everything the same that you guys got out of it with the test, the board of life, you know, that we live in the decision and indecisions that we go through. But ultimately, the king is the sits and waits and watches, protected by all the facets of the feud. Sat upon the throne, brain of balance, scale, with air of judge, the final deciders of which decision will triumph. So just a fascinating poem, very intriguing.
Excellent, Gray. Appreciate it. Bobby, what's happening over there in that mind of yours?
Well, I was struck by the passage where he cites that both sides, he says, the first two stanzas, primarily, the long debate over each and every action we take, like a game of chess lodged in the mirror which we play our whole lives long, both sides the same person, but advocates in the slightest. And I think it very, very eloquently pitted against each other, black versus white, mere variance. I think the internal argument we have with ourselves so often, where you've, you know, the Warner Brothers, the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. But we do. has not had that internal argument with themselves. And I think that's what his reference here is to someone playing chess with themselves, is having that internal argument. And there's, it's anybody's guess which side will win. So I really like that reference. I thought it was very clever.
Excellent. All right, I'm going to I've been ahead of the game all night. Now I'm actually behind, so let me post this one here. We have one by, I'm going to give this one for you to read, Louie, if you don't mind.
Okay.
This one's really interesting. This is by Keith Palthorpe. Oh, Three Graces Sharing Lots with Lot's Wife.
Okay, let me, oh my gosh. See, when I refresh, my computer just does whatever it wants. Okay, I got it. I apologize. Three Graces Sharing Lots with Lot's Wife by Keith Palthorpe. Mirth, elegance, and beauty. Giving, receiving, and returning. Daughters of Zeus and patrons of mankind. Love, admiration, and worship were theirs. Immortality was their birthright. They were the exemplars of grace, the epitome of elegance and balance. They closed the circle on graciousness, simple, profound symmetry, spare but telling symbiosis. Why the fulsome grace? Why the frozen state? Why three pillars of salt? As with Lot's wife, it took only a momentary lapse, a glance back in wonder at the world. Sic transit gloria mundi. In home.
Great read. And yeah, this one I think we could talk for hours on. This is a lot into this one. Let's start with you, Raconteur.
Yeah, this is deep. Like you said, hours. I like the enumeration of the qualities he's talking about. He starts off with grace, elegance, and beauty, and then he keeps a little symmetry there in the next verse or the verse after, where he mentions three other things, but it was that it was three. It gave it a great sense of continuity and just, you know, and kind of enforced the thought of what he was looking at. I don't remember there being three people involved with Lot and the whole Bible story of it, but you know, the minute he said that, you know, my mind shot to that, to the story, the idea of, you know, her looking back and turning into that pillar of salt, and you know, that speaks of the consequences and everything, and ultimately, you know, that's I think what this was about. I thought it was great.
Excellent, excellent comment. Appreciate it. Lou, you got to read it. What'd you think?
Okay, I'll make it short. I really like this poem because it makes you think. You know, the gods, the daughters of Zeus, how when mankind started advancing, they stopped worshiping them. And then also the same thing with Lot's wife. She also worshiped the wealth and the place where she came from. And she was not told not to look back, so she also was turning into sand and stone. And that's what it meant to me, is the loss of your former life, and you become hardened by not wanting to accept what was happening.
Yeah, very, very interesting. I mean, there's so many different places you can go here that he really packed a lot in. As usual with Keith, great job. Gray, what are your thoughts?
Well, you did a beautiful read on it, Lou. But, you know, the poem's intriguing. It's engaging. You know, it really pulls you through the storyline that captures the fancy. And then I really like the sick transit, Gloria Mundi, as in dust passes the glory of the world as the ending. So just an excellent write and beautiful read, Lou.
Excellent, Gray. Bobby.
I'll take a bye so we can get another poem out there.
Sure. Hey, there you go. Take one for the team. I like it. I like it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I got one here. That's right. So I got one here by Thomas B., who I'm always glad to see on here, one of my favorite poets. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give this one a read, actually. It's called Anatomy by Consensus. People who have made me climbed up the vines of history, twisted their genes into mine, found behaviors they reinforced, punished me into fitting. These people wear themselves into every wrinkle of my countenance, curled up like embryos waiting to be more of me than I want to know. I find myself pulling out an attitude, recognized my father, mother, sibling, even Uncle Harry, who is only a memory, lost in an early diary entry of my mother, speaks up for my loves and diet needs. I dress the part my social station demands. I know all the correct behaviors I was bred for. Substance often is ignored unless founded upon proper breeding. The stations in my life, in life this makes possible, I question. Peel me down to the last layer of the onion. Is it me or is it some ancestor bold with his sperm and a woman ripe, ready for the cradle of my roots. Originality is when the sum is greater than the whole, and until then, freedom and individuality are only a pretense we paint over our issues. End poem. That's a great write, and for those following along, the picture is of a face, but the face is actually made of bodies, so I can see where you got this idea. Great, great write. Raconteur, let's start with you.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. There's an expression that we're actually three people. The way other people see us, the way we see ourselves and how we truly are, it makes me think of that, you know, and he kind of enforces that idea in the beginning. But, you know, I like that he kind of shifts it towards individuality in the poem, because to me, you know, it's all about perspective, and, you know, I think ultimately we bring about different things in each other. You know, one person might say, you know, oh, he's this funny, the other person would be like, really? I don't think he's funny. You know, so we interpret different things depending on how we interact and what we bring out with each other. So that this speaks to that to me. And, you know, I love that thought, because that I think strikes very close to, you know, the way things are, life. I thought it was a great observational piece.
Yeah, I agree. You know, are we us individual, or are we us just a conglomerate of our experiences, which is a lot of other people and how we interact with them. So it's a really interesting, you know, concept. Absolutely. Gray, let's go with you.
I thought it was a wonderful poem on, you know, the subject of self and who we really are. I mean, we think we're ourselves, but we're the culmination of so many before us, and our lives are just an extension of their own in a way. So we are not so unique and so one of a kind, I guess. But we are at the same time as we're not, because we wouldn't be here without these thousands of people coming together before us. So just a fascinating write on the subject of life itself.
Yeah, I agree. I really like the way he put it in there, almost not as a joke, but as lighthearted, but I think it was really deeper. He said, even Uncle Harry, who was only a memory, lost his early diary entry of my mother, you know, but that's still part of him. You know, my son, I see my father, I see parts of him a lot. It comes up, I'm like, oh, that's your grandfather. And he knew my father. My father passed away like 4 or 5 years ago, so he was a preteen or an early teen, but I still see a lot of him in there, and it's just, you know, the mannerisms that you pick up from that. So I'm sure I probably have my grandfather in me that I've never even met. That definitely happens. Lou, what are your thoughts?
Well, I got three thoughts out of this. One, this is Thomas's opinion, that he sat in meetings with dysfunctional adults who speak about the historical bags of crap and are trying to disconnect from. Okay, that's his version. Also, this poem is so well written that I also looked at it as when people go and they study their history on Ancestry.com or on the BBC channel and also on our educational channel, they look through the history and then we start seeing all these connections and behaviors that, you know, that still show up in modern times. And then the other thing was it also was personal because I took it as hereditary, like Gray brought out all our family lines before us, things we didn't know that, you know, a family, it's just simple, like a family will comment, well, your Uncle Jack used to do that, or your Aunt Annie used to do that. So I really enjoyed this poem. It took me in so many different directions.
You're turning into your mother.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, Thomas is such a great poet, and he really did go really deep into this. I mean, there's so much genealogy and psychology, and he packed it all in here. So awesome job of that. All right, Bobby, we have 3 minutes, which the floor is yours. We actually only have 4 carryovers, which is not bad for everything that we packed into this show. So if you want to, it's up to you if you want to give a quick comment, and then if you want to talk about the next contest as well, that would be great.
I think I'll do both of those things. I like Thomas's writing also. He's a very cerebral writer. He gives a great deal of depth and thought. A detailed thought to his pieces, and the fact that the minute I saw it, it reminded me immediately of the work of the 16th century artist Giuseppe Archimboldo, because if you look at Giuseppe Archimboldo's work, he's the one, and I know you've seen his work, you just don't recognize the name. He's the one that does people that are made up of fruits and vegetables and fish. And, yeah, you've seen his work. And that's the minute I saw that this anatomical work, that's what it struck me as. But then what Thomas did with it, and I love in the first stanza, the people who have made me climbed up on the vines of history, twisted their genes into mine. These people wear themselves into every wrinkle of my countenance. I love that. I mean, just where he went with this prompt, I thought was absolutely bloody brilliant. So well done, Thomas. Thank you for that. And for all of you, all have homework assignments now. You have to go look up Giuseppe Archimboldo. So hey, careful. I may do a contest on him. Anyway, our coming up contest is out there right now. It is the Haunting Hyperrealism of István Sándorfi. These are paintings. I mean, if you look at them, they may look a little bit like photographs. The artist we just discussed was, but these are paintings, and just some beautiful attention to detail, and some for the folks out there that are strange rangers. There's some really tormented looking pieces out there, and for those of you that are more serene souls, you've got those out there too. So we've got a sampling of a little bit of everything out here, because the tormented pictures are really tormented looking, and the peaceful ones are very peaceful. A lot of women, a lot of just some unusual poses, unusual composition, a lot to work with. If your imagination can't stir something up on these, you're just not trying. No, but seriously, some beautiful work. And some composition pieces in there that, I will just call out prompt 1, prompt 19, I think the last also, just some compositions. Yeah, the last prompt 40, some really interesting blends of what looks like and a live model. So with that. Please go take a look at this. Thank you, everyone, for I buy and you're coming in. And I think we ought to leave the door open more often.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Great show. Really appreciate it.
And for those of you who have never joined us before, thank you so much for coming. Appreciated it. And Dan, thank you as always.
Hey, Bobby, you're the best. Thank you, everybody. Have a fantastic evening. And
go,
make sure you turn in the rhythm and rhyme tomorrow, and Garden of Enlightenment on Monday, and we'll see you all later. Have a great evening.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.